If I ever took a loss, I learned a lesson. I won't ever think I'm better than the next man. I've been down before to come up, I ain't stressing. Baby, I'm too busy counting all these blessings.
Hi everyone, this is Brad Bristow and I'm the lead campus pastor here at Cornerstone Church in Airdrie, and I want to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that you would be inspired, encouraged, challenged, and your faith would be built. Enjoy the message. As family, we go.
I just bought a car, cash money. I ain't even trying to brag on it. I just tell it how it really is.
Last week, we began by putting into context the beginning of this story. The story of Abram, but before his name is changed to Abraham, and God calls Abram and his entire family and tells them to leave their homeland and just start walking. Walking through the desert, but with nothing but faith and Abram's ability to hear God to guide them. Because all that God told him was just start walking. He makes all these amazing promises and then just says, start walking, and I will tell you when to stop. And so he and everyone that was with him started walking. And they didn't stop for about 1,500 kilometers. They walked through the desert day in and day out. And I don't know that I mentioned, Abraham was 75 years old when all of this went down. He wasn't a spring chicken. He wasn't some 17-year-old virile, prime of his life, never going to have more energy, never going to have more endurance. He was 75, and I checked. And in Hebrew, 75 means 75. Maybe in the Bible, 75 wasn't. No, 75 was still 75. He was 75 years old. And so what we have here is, as of Genesis chapter 9, Abram's made it to the promised land. He's toured, he's found a place to settle, and he and his family are about to begin this new life in this land of blessing and this land of promise that God has given to him. And then we come to verse 10, where our story begins today. And verse 10 begins like this. Now, there was a famine in the land. What on earth? The whole point of this journey, the whole point of this 1,500-kilometer walk through the desert on nothing but faith and the ability to hear God, the whole point of all of this, the promises that were made, everything that was said was that God was going to take Abram to this new land where he would bless him, where he would take care of him, where his family would flourish, and he would become a blessing to not just himself, not just his land, but the entire world. The whole point of this journey was that God had called Abram from his homeland, where everything was just hunky-dory, thank you very much, to this new homeland, to this new place, this promised land, where God says, I'm going to bless you. And so at 75 years old, he packs up all of his stuff. At 75 years old, he walks 1,500 kilometers. At 75 years old, he finally hears God saying, stop, this is the promised land I have for you. And the first thing that happens to him, the first thing that happens upon arrival in the promised land, this blessed land, this land that they had traveled so, so far to get to, the very first thing that happens is that the land is hit by a famine. Sometimes it doesn't pay to get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes it's just seemingly not worth it. How often do I see these kinds of moments in our own lives where we work really hard, we do everything the best that we can, we do our best to listen to God, we do everything that we know to do, and then that happened. And then this happens. And suddenly it doesn't all make sense. It doesn't all add up. it seems like rather than in Psalm 23, it'll say that he will make us lie down in green pastures. And sometimes we work believing that I'm going to get to the green pastures. It's going to be great. I got to get through this season. But then, ha-ha. But it ends up being more of the walking through the valley of the shadow of death part. And it just sort of keeps going. You followed what you were supposed to do. You've walked the walk, in this case for Abram, literally. You've done your best to talk the talk. You've done everything you know how to do. And just when it seems like everything should be turning around for you, bam! Another thing happens. And another thing. And another thing. God called Abram to trust him. Trust me. Trust that I will take care of you and your family. Trust me and start walking. And so Abram did that. He said, okay, God, I'm with you. I will trust you. I will put my life in your hands. I'll put the life of my family in your hands. And I'm going to trust you to take care of us. And what does that seemingly get him? 1,500 kilometers away from home, in a land he doesn't know, away from so much that was comforting, in this new place, in his new home, that's in the middle of a famine, where he can't provide for his family. He doesn't have food to eat and he doesn't have water to drink. Sometimes it can sure seem like it's really hard to follow God. And we're going to explore that this morning and discover some principles about that. But sometimes it can seem like even when we're doing and being everything that we can be, something else happens. What's often a difficulty for us as people is that the past is never as relevant as the present. All that happened in the past doesn't matter if this thing that I'm facing now doesn't work out. That it's all well and it's all good that God has been faithful in my life. And that's great, and praise you, Jesus, for being thankful. But now is what matters until the next thing that matters. But when we face something as people, it's very difficult to live our lives in the greater context of who and what God is. As people, we dwell on what is now. And whatever we're facing is the greatest thing we've ever faced. I need God to be faithful now, or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many kilometers God saw me through in the desert. It doesn't matter how many days and weeks he kept us safe, because we're not in the desert anymore. And that's not the problem that we face now. We're living in the middle of a famine. That's great that he got us through the desert, but what is that worth if we're in the middle of a famine now and God might not be able to get us through the famine? If God doesn't do something now, it doesn't matter what God did then. And this is a thinking that I think we can all be guilty of at points in our lives. It doesn't matter that God provided before, although we may be thankful. It doesn't matter that God was faithful before, although we may be thankful. It doesn't matter what I know to be true about God from the past. If those same things that I know to be true in my past don't come true in my present, it doesn't matter what he did in my past. And we come to these places where it's just difficult. And Abraham is confronted with one of these moments where he has a choice between trusting what God did before and the situation he's facing right now. Where he comes to this place where he has a choice between looking at what God has done, this amazing miracle of providing us and carrying us through the desert, but now I need God to do something here and now. God got him through the desert, but can God get him through this famine? And so Abraham is faced with this choice, and he makes a choice. The rest of verse 10 says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was so severe. Abram looked at the situation. He weighed his options, and Abram bet on himself. He saw, he understood, he surveyed the situation, he surveyed the land, he looked at his options, and what he saw was Egypt. He saw an economy. He saw security. He saw all of the things that he was missing in his land. And he decided, rather than trusting God, I'm going to trust me. I'm going to trust my own cognitive abilities. I'm going to trust my pros and cons list. I'm going to trust whatever. I'm going to trust me. I'm going to bet on me. And so that's what he decides to do. Now, it's very important that we understand and that we recognize in this story, very important, that there was no call on Abram's life to go to Egypt. There was not a hint, there was not a reference, there was nothing. This is a decision that Abram is making all on his own, and it has nothing to do with God. God had called him to the land he was in, he had called him to Canaan, and Abram, of his own decision, of his own volition, of his own choice, decided to go to Egypt. He bet on himself and his ability to solve this. Because I know that God got me here. I know that God carried us through the desert and he got me here to the promised land. But I don't know that God can do this. I know he's done this in the past, but right now we're facing this famine. And I'm sorry, I just don't know that I can trust God to do this. I need to take it on my own and do this. And so Abram packs up all of his life again. And he heads down to Egypt. Now, again, as we talked about last week, sometimes we pretend like we know what all of these things mean. From Canaan to Egypt is about another 600 plus kilometer journey. So it's not like it was just a hop, skip, and a jump away. This was a big deal and a big decision to pack up and move. Now, I don't think that I need to ask for a show of hands here for how many of us have had these kinds of moments in our lives where we've been put in a position to have to choose between God and what we see and what we think. And we've been forced between what God has told us or what we believe to be true and what we know that we see. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one who at times has bet on myself, has said, you know what? I know God is faithful, and I know we can sing about great is his faithfulness, but I need to do this one myself. I can't bet on God. I got to bet on Brad. This problem needs a me solution because I don't know that I can count on God to get me out of this one. For you and for me, how many times have we gone to Egypt? How many times have we looked at what God has asked of us and what makes sense to us and bet on ourselves? Looked at Egypt. Abram looked at Egypt and he saw a society. He saw the Nile River, all the resources that accompany that. He saw all that this thing other than God had to offer, and he looked at what God had to offer. Egypt had all of these tangible, touchable, real opportunities, and all God had was promises and a famine. And so he looked at it and he decided, I'm going to Egypt. And sometimes we have found what we're looking for in Egypt. But it's only for a time. It's not going to last. Egypt offered stability, safety, food, and drink. God only offered an opportunity to trust him. What would have God done for Abram and his family in the face of this famine? I have no idea. No one knows. That was the problem for Abram. Because he didn't know either. Now we see the record of all kinds of things that God did through history. He brought food in the mouths of ravens for Elijah. He did all kinds of stuff to provide all kinds of things for people. What would he have done for Abram? Who knows? And that was the problem. Abram trusted God through the desert, but now in the face of this famine, now what? More trust. God's call on our lives never leads us to a place where we no longer have to trust Him. God does not, and God will not. God never calls you out of your trust in Him. Following the call of God on your life is only going to lead you to a place where you have to trust in God more. It's never going to lead you to a place where you are able to trust in God less. Sometimes we can have this idea that if I live by faith, if I walk out my faith, if I walk through this season of life that I'm in, where I know God's trying to build my faith and build my trust in Him, if I can just walk through this season, then God will let me take a break from all of this faith and trust stuff. And I can just relax for a bit. I can just take it easy, and I won't have to live by faith, and I won't have to live by trust. But do you know what you're going to find on the other side of this season of having to trust God? Another season of having to trust God. Every season in your life where you're saying, I'm just in a season of having to really trust and believe in the Lord right now. On the other side of that season is going to be another season of having to trust and believe in the Lord. He doesn't call us out of trust. He doesn't somehow say, okay, you've trusted me for long enough now. Don't worry about it. You've had faith in me for long enough now. Don't worry about it. He builds our faith so that we can have more faith for when we need more faith. The ultimate result of your trust in God is not less opportunities to trust in God. The more we trust in God, the more trust we're going to need in God. Abram trusted God all the way through the desert, but the famine in Egypt was just too much for him. And so he heads off to Egypt. But Egypt brings along with it its own set of complications and its own set of worries. Verse 11. And he was about to enter Egypt, and as he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. Now, just a note here. Sarai was 65 years old. So there you go. She was 60. And he says, I know that you are beautiful, and that the world is going to perceive you as beautiful. Verse 12. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Abram continues to look to himself to solve these problems, to be the solutions guy. And he knows that his wife is really foxy. He knows that she's good looking. He knows that he is well, he married up. And he knows it. And he knows that when we go to Egypt, they're going to notice that I married up. And it's not going to go very well for me. He knows what happens to good looking girls in Egypt. And he knows what happens to guys who are married to good looking girls in Egypt. They're not long for this world. So, in his continued effort to solve the problem of the famine, rather than trusting God for the famine, he decides that he needs to take his family to Egypt, and then going to Egypt, essentially offer up his wife to try and make this work. He knows what's going to happen to Sarai in Egypt, and he knows what would happen to him in Egypt if he doesn't give up his wife. So rather than trust God, rather than try and keep his wife safe, he makes a plan that essentially the only way to spare his life is to offer up his wife as collateral. When we go our way rather than God's way, it can take you way further than you ever imagined and cost you way more than you ever expected to pay. Abram left Canaan, left the promised land, left the blessings and the promises of God to save his family, to provide for them, to make sure they were safe. And he fled to Egypt. But in trying to save his life and his wife's life, he's now put his life in danger and had to essentially offer up his wife as like, if you save me, you can have her. Egypt made sense to Abram. It all made sense at the beginning. It seemed like it all made sense. It all on paper, it all added up. And because it all added up so well, he couldn't trust God. And now that's about to cost him everything. Verse 14, when Abram came to Egypt, he was right. The Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. They went back to Pharaoh and said, there's a new girl in town. You need to go see this new girl in town. 65-year-old woman, still the most beautiful woman in all of Egypt. She was taken into his palace. Now, what does that mean, she was taken into his palace? It means that she became part of Pharaoh's harem. It wasn't that Abram and Sarai weren't married or weren't pretend not married. It wasn't, well, just tell him that you're my brother, but we'll just go home together and at home it'll be fine and all of those things. His wife was now gone. His wife was now property of the king of Egypt. His wife was gone. She now lived in Pharaoh's palace, doing all of the things that would have been expected of a woman in Pharaoh's harem to do. She was gone. In an effort to save his family, Abram just lost his wife. She is now gone, and he's not going to be able to get her back. Verse 16, he, Pharaoh, treated Abram well for her sake. She thinks it's his brother. This is like a dowry. This is a thank you for giving me your sister. I'm going to treat you really well as payment for offering up your sister to me in this way. And he acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. I don't know if they were boy and girl camels, but... they're very specific about the other ones, or if they maybe. He was loaded. By all standard of measure at the time, Abram became loaded at the sale of his wife. He sold his wife to Pharaoh, and he became wealthy. He got the financial security, the financial safety, the resources of Egypt. Abram found so tempting, he found in Egypt. His status in all of these things grew, and he became, by the standards of the time, an extremely wealthy man. He got everything he was looking for. All the reasons that he had decided to go to Egypt, they had all come to pass. Everything he looked at from a distance to Egypt and said, they've got money, they've got cattle, they've got livestock, they have servants. Maybe if we go there, rather than trusting God, maybe we can get us some of that. And here, he got it all. But it cost him everything to get it. He knew what he wanted from Egypt. He just had no idea what it was going to take for him to get it. Abram may have given up on God. He may have walked or ran away from God's call, walked away from God's provision, walked away from God's promises. But God never walked away from Abram. The next verse, verse 17. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram and said, what have you done to me? He said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Abram's plan had gone so far off the rails. He had given up his wife to Pharaoh's harem in order to save himself. His family that he was so desperate to protect was now fallen apart. But God never walked away from Abram. And God begins to put it all back together. Everything that he's lost, all of these things he began to put together. In the book of Joel, it'll talk about how God's going to restore everything the locusts have eaten. And we see God begin to put these pieces back together of all of the things that are missing. Somehow, through God, some diseases come to the palace. And somehow, Pharaoh not only knows that it's because of Sarai, or somehow he knows that it's not, or it's because Sarai isn't who she said she is. But he knows that it's because Sarai's Abraham's wife. We have no idea how he finds that out. Was God speaking to Pharaoh's heart and showing him something in a dream? We don't know. But what we do know is that he knows, and he knows exactly what has gone on. What we do know is that God steps in, and just like that, all of Abraham's plans, all of what Abraham thought would work, all of what Abram's plans cost him, all of it was undone. Sarai was reunited with Abram, and they were kicked out of Egypt, which is amazing, because if there's one thing you can learn about the rulers of the ancient world by reading through the Bible, is that they are not models of restraint. The death penalty was quick, and it was for everything. And so the fact that because of Abram's deception, he wasn't killed on the spot is the work of the Lord, the work of the hand of the Lord in his life, protecting him and watching over him and keeping him profoundly safe. It would have been nothing for them to be executed. And the fact that Pharaoh would say, "Get out of Egypt," is a miracle in and of itself. And here is where the hope, that the amazement of this story really becomes apparent in the last verse we're going to look at today, verse 20. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything that they had. That last little bit and everything he had. We see the redeeming power of God on display. Remember, God had nothing to do with Abram going to Egypt. It was completely against what God wanted for him. It was not his call. That was all Abraham. And you would think, with the very vengeful, angry God that stereotyped, especially in the Old Testament, the punishment on punishment would be heaped and it would be severe. That this angry God of the Old Testament that is just out to get people, that'll shoot you with lightning bolts from heaven, that the punishment on Abram should have been quick and it should have been severe. But instead, Abraham discovers, instead we see grace. We see mercy. We see redemption. We already saw that God saved his life. And to know God is using Abram's lack of faith, his lack of trust, to further the promises that God made to Abram. As Abram somehow is allowed to return to Canaan with everything that he had gotten in Egypt, all the cattle, the donkeys, the sheep, the servants, all of it. The journey of faith that we have is not perfect. You and I, we are going to make mistakes. We will try and take control of our own lives. We will bet on ourselves rather than God. And just like Abram, you and I will learn time and again that taking our lives and our decisions into our own hands, it just doesn't work. And it doesn't get us where we want to be. It will take you further than you can ever imagine, and it costs you more than you would ever expect to pay. But what we have in the story of Abraham's life, and what we have in the picture of Jesus Christ on the cross, is the assurance that no matter how far we've walked away from the call of God on our lives, from the promises and the provisions of God, no matter how many times you've bet on yourself, no matter how wrong things have gone, the redeeming power of God is bigger than all of it. That when Jesus hung on the cross, dying for you, dying for your sin, he made a way back from wherever it is that you find yourself. You cannot go too far. You cannot do too much to not or to have a way back. Abram went too far. He did too much. And the redeeming power of God pulled him right out of Egypt, set him back in Canaan with more than he left with. He was better off because of God's intervention in his own life, even through his own failing, than he was on his own. We have a God who isn't going to meet us with anger, wrath, or judgment. We have a God that's going to meet us with mercy and grace and love. And we have the assurance that no matter how far away we are, no matter the mistakes that we've made, we have a God who knows how to bless us in the face of those mistakes, to use our shortcomings to advance his kingdom and to use us. You have a God who will never walk away from you. In your darkest moments that perhaps have cost you more than you ever thought they would, that have taken you further away than you ever thought you'd go, you can know this. God never walked away from you. As far away as you thought you went, God was right there beside you the whole time. And he will step into your life. He will intervene in your situation. He will pull you out of there. He will set your feet upon dry land, and he will rescue you, and he will bless you. God will never walk away from you. He will rescue you, and he will bring you back.
There is a mountain in between.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com, click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
And on this altar, and on this road, I lay down my flesh and bones. And here on this mountain I have climbed, wrestling doubts that flood my mind. When ashes and dust are all that remain, will hope for the world still come from my veins? On this altar, on this road, you have called me from my home. The weight I carry is not my own. Spirit.